Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You have no idea how much I look forward to the show segments. Because during the breaks and the news and so forth, it's like being on a rotisserie spinning around, as Kevin tells us. Look, 228, 229, 222, 224.
No. I did not. Because there it rained out for the rest of the day.
No. There is a God. All right.
Dang it. Why do I keep walking into it? Man, I just feel like that boxer that no matter how you protect yourself, you keep walking into the right cross.
Tomorrow's a big day, though. The weather should be good tomorrow, right?
Actually, I have not checked that.
Well, then, while we talk to Ben Jones from StateCollege.com, why don't you check that? Ben, it's great to have you with us on what is another very slow week.
How's it going, Steve? It's been slow. Nothing's really been happening.
Yeah, I mean, I finally actually this morning took the time to read the article in Sports Illustrated. You had read it before anyway. Your thoughts on the read, and then your thoughts on the response.
I think, in terms of a written article, it reads well. I think that there's a lot about it that, I don't know, I have to pick the right word here. I think it lacks some information that it could have used to strengthen its case. I think that a lot of people, including yourself, have refuted some of the points that it brings up about rushing people out to play or that there's for some reason there's not adequate medical care in the program. I think anyone who spends time around these guys knows that, that O'Brien is all about the players. And I think to transition to his response, I think Penn State did a good job of getting in front of the story. I think O'Brien pretty much made it a non-issue in about 21 minutes of teleconference. There's no doubt that they care about the health and safety of these players that are on this roster and always have. And I mean, I was listening to you guys the other day talk about how you're not trying to make it a political show, and I certainly respect that. But I think that you read these things and sort of feel like there's other stuff in play rather than there being a real medical issue around the program. But, that sort of stuff is more speculative than what was necessarily presented in the article.
Would an article such as that been written 2-3 years ago?
I think probably not. I think that it goes to, I guess I explained it to someone the other day that everyone has a flavor of the month, and I think Penn State is good reading right now because, while the calendars have come and gone since the Sandusky scandal passed, at least in its bulk, it's still, Penn State is still a place of drama in the college athletic world and probably will be for a while, at least until the trials are over. And I think, if this had happened at USC when USC was going through a lot of things, maybe they write that article about USC, or maybe, if Oregon gets in trouble, maybe they write it about Oregon. But I don't think that this article gets written about Penn State if it's 2 or 3 years ago.
Right. Let's now transition from that. And I know I brought up the political aspect of it the other day, and that, it's not a political show. But I do, believe me, it's not like I'm not very aware of all the outside influences. How about that?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to put it, at least in the context that we have.
Yeah. Now let's get to the scheduling part. Everyone knew who six of the opponents would be for Penn State in 2014. They're the six divisional rivals. Just a question of where. Obviously, they took the Rutgers thing and just left it in the same spot and used that as a conference game. Very smart move. It helps both Rutgers and Penn State to do that. Your thoughts on how they put together the 2014 schedule, which essentially is going to be the 15 schedule as well, just flipped.
Yeah, I think they did a good job. I think, you know, from a ticketing standpoint on Penn State's perspective, I think it's good that they got Ohio State back in State College. The last time that they reshuffled those schedules and they added Nebraska to the mix, Penn State ended up on the road at Ohio State 2 years in a row, and I think that's, you know, from a ticketing standpoint, that's a big game. You know, I think it's good that they kept the Rutgers game in the non-conference area, so to speak, of the schedule, because, like you said, it works out well for both programs. You know, currently they've got three bye weeks, but you have to think that one of those is going to get filled, and maybe the Ireland game shows up in the non-conference in a different spot, you know, if 2014 is when that comes to pass. Now, there's no Nebraska, there's no Wisconsin, and those are two, you know, marquee games that you look to cover and watch and be a fan of. But I think it's a good slate for Penn State. They play 8 of 9 at home, I believe, in that first chunk of the schedule. So it favors Penn State in a lot of ways, but at the same time, you know, you always want to see good games against the teams like Wisconsin and Nebraska, and it sort of lacks that punch.
But you have Ohio State, Michigan every year.
Yeah, and you're going to have Ohio State, Michigan State every year. And those are games that people are always going to want to see. And I mean, you bring back the Land-Grant Trophy, which is one of the most beautiful pieces of hardware in all of college football.
Look, redesign it, and here's a prerequisite for redesigning it. Allow it to be of a size where one person can lift it. Okay, now we have that out of the way. Now let's go to the next part. You, of course, a lot of coverage of Penn State basketball, cover it all the time. Were you as surprised by the Jermaine Marshall announcement as I was?
I was surprised. I had heard some people just speculatively wonder if he would, because I think, like, I knew that he had a son. It's not something that is published a lot, but I mean, I knew that he had a kid, and I knew that he was going to graduate, and that possibility was always out there. But I think, like most people, you know, you expected him to come back and really, you know, be a crucial part of that backcourt next season with Tim and DJ. So from a basketball standpoint, you know, yes, I was surprised. I thought he would be back for his final year. But, you know, you have to do what you have to do, and I think a lot of people, you know, gained a lot of respect for him and how he presented himself over the interviews and the decisions that he had to make. And it's hard to say that, you know, you expect the guy to play for all 5 years when he's got to take, you know, care of his girlfriend and his son. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for the decision that he made, but at the same time, yeah, I was pretty surprised that it unfolded the way that it did.
Right. And then the next part of that is, it is still the deepest part of the team. Does this put a little bit more, for example, on John Johnson, who will not be eligible to play in the game until December 21st?
Yeah, I think it definitely puts a little added pressure on everyone. It's similar to losing Tim last year. The advantage that they have is, you know, the whole off season to get ready for that, and they have a lot of guys coming in. You know, if Geno Thorpe is serviceable as a freshman, and not to say that the other guys aren't, but there's always that learning curve that you have whenever you go from high school to college. If some of those guys can step up, if John Johnson can be a consistent scorer when he becomes eligible, you know, it's going to be a lot of pressure for them to fill Jermaine's roles, not only off the court, but his scoring as well.
Right. Now, a lot of people have talked about, wow, they're losing a 15-point-a-game scorer, but that was minus Tim Frazier. He was still going to contribute valuable points, but I don't think people should look at him as a 15-point-a-game scorer when there's more depth in that spot.
Yeah, I think for how deep the guard position is and the sorts of things that Tim will bring you, you have to figure that Jermaine's production was going to go down, and even DJ's production and DJ's touches are going to go down this year. You know, when you spread out the ball between a lot of different guys that are capable of scoring, you know, you might end up with a more efficient offense overall, but you might not have to, each piece might not be as crucial when you have guys contributing, you know, 8, 10, 15 points a game. Whereas, you know, last year, Jermaine's essentially the reason that they beat Michigan, because he hit so many threes in that second half.
No question. Ended up with 6 threes in that game and was a huge reason why, at both ends of the floor, why they beat Michigan. One, plays are always very important to me when I'm evaluating a team's chances within a conference. Penn State's one plays this year will be at Michigan, at Northwestern, and then the home games will be Iowa, Wisconsin. When you see the one plays, especially the one plays being Wisconsin, Iowa, and Michigan, how much does that actually help Penn State?
I think it helps in some regards. You know, teams that you're not necessarily going to be favored in, and when you're playing a team like Michigan or Wisconsin, you know, to get them off the schedule twice, you know, I think that really helps. And Iowa is one of those teams that's sort of an up and coming program. I think that they've done a really good job out there over the past 2 years. So to be able to avoid them on the schedule really helps. And, you know, certainly you probably like to play Northwestern twice, your right. Pat Chambers, but, you know, to get them on there instead of, you know, I think Ohio State kept being the one play and you feel like you're dodging a bullet there. So to be able to do the same thing for Michigan and Wisconsin, and even Iowa is definitely an advantage for them.
Right. I think 3 out of 4 work in Penn State's favor in terms of one place. Now let's get to strength of schedule non-conference, Ben. Pitt's going to be on there as part of the ACC Challenge. They have Barclays with St. with a 2 out of 3 between St. John's, Georgia Tech, Ole Miss. LaSalle's going to be coming here as well. Then you mix in a Duquesne, a Bucknell, a Penn, and so forth. Is there a strength of schedule in the non-conference just based on the early knowledge of what it looks like?
Yeah, I think that it definitely favors Penn State. I think the fact that they're going up to New York to play at the Barclays Center against, you know, good but not overwhelming teams is going to help them. I think playing Pitt helps. I think playing, you know, Bucknell, LaSalle, all of those teams, you know, that's a lot of tournament teams from last year. And any time that you can get a team that was in the NCAA tournament last year, especially the teams that make them at large bids rather than a conference tournament win, I think that really helps your strength of schedule. And you listen to how Pat talks about scheduling and how they're trying to find guys in that their teams in that certain RPI range. I think he really understands what he's trying to do with the strength of schedule in the non-conference. It's about testing your team without, you know, finding a bunch of teams that are just going to mop the floor with you. So I think he's done a good job finding guys or finding programs that they can play that will give them a challenge, but at the same time, they have an opportunity to win.
Ben, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your time and your insight.
All right. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. All right. 41 and a half minutes of IndyCar talk about to happen. We prepare you for that?
Maybe. Maybe you're not. There?
Oh, I think we'll opt for maybe not.
Again, walked right into the right.
Well, today's show is brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, where they have enough beverages to make it palatable to listen to constant indie talk. I mean, do you? I mean,
yes. Do I?
When you're with your acquaintances tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I think I chose the proper word.
Okay.
Will you bring up this topic during the Little League game?
Yes. Yes, I will.
Really?
Yeah, because there's a few people that I know that will be interested as well. Now, I'm not the only open wheel fan in the area, okay? I'm just maybe the biggest.
Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Snacks, beverages, oh, and a pickle bar that is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet. It's the weekend, time to kick back and enjoy the Preakness, NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, Major League Baseball, and yes, qualifying at Indianapolis. As we continue on News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia. IKEA on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf is going to make it impossible.
Impossible.
For you to say no to these huge discounts. Show off your individuality with a 2013 Kia Soul starting at $15,929. Sunbury Motors Kia ordered extra 39 MPG 2012 Kia Optima Hybrids, which are discounted $5,047. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months. Built in the USA, 2014 Kia Sorentos start at just $22,993. And Sunbury Motors Kia has 18 in stock now. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, the discounts are so huge, it's going to be impossible to say no. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
That's for
1-800-795-9565. Yeah, Powerball.
No, no, no. Those are for, that's for the Preakness, but it fits for Powerball too. Now that
Believe me. I said typical American mentality. Powerball's 20 million. I think I'll skip by the old sheets and keep on rolling there. Gets up to 500 million, you can't put enough money down to get the darn thing. That's why you know, Mr. Left Turn, Right Turn over here, who, you know, wants every race to be like they're going down routes 11 and 15. You know, I'm saying, like, put the pedal to the floor and let her fly. That's racing. American style. Our congratulations out to a good friend of this show who's made a couple different appearances on here, Jamie Bestwick. He's now in a class all his own. He has won his 8th consecutive BMX Vert title. And he did so today at the X Games in Barcelona. So congratulations to Jamie. Of course, we've had Jamie on this show several times. He was also a commentator at the Olympics for NBC in London on bike racing. And just continues to, I think, have jaws dropped by what he does. Now, if I were to do the same thing, fly in the air, flip around, do whatever he does, it would be termed an accident. He does it deliberately. And Jamie is one of the true class acts. He's put together the Jamie Bestwick Foundation, where 100% of the proceeds go to the charity. 100%. There's no overhead. You send it, it's like you're handing a check to somebody. So congratulations to Jamie. 8th consecutive BMX Vert title. Did so today at the X Games in Barcelona. A great friend of our show who's made several appearances on this show during the course of the past year and a half. So congratulations to him.
Steve, I got Dave on the line for you from Sunbury.
I'm having a computer problem here, obviously.
That's what
Dave, sorry. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hello, Steve.
It's great to hear from you.
Well, I got jotted down 5 things. We'll start with, you said you'd keep about it for Indianapolis. So, well, like Tom Cruise says, you have a need for speed.
Yes, we do. There is a need for speed, and that is what racing is all about.
Then there's, I couldn't call you yesterday, as I'll explain to that after I get done with this. I overheard that conversation about Flores. The article in Sports Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically muckraking.
Well, I think it's an article, to be honest with you, Dave. If 2 years ago, that article would not have been written.
Yeah.
And as I pointed out yesterday, and I've tried to explain this the entire time, everyone knows how I personally feel about Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli.
Yeah.
He's a great friend of mine. He is a great professional, a great doctor, a great surgeon. I can't say enough great things about Wayne.
Well,
Bill wanted to put his own structure in place as to how he wanted things done, and they decided to go in a different direction. Okay,
yeah, well,
that's Bill's prerogative as the CEO, but medical care hasn't gone down here because the last thing you want to do is to put down other professionals who are also outstanding in the field, and they are.
Yeah, I know. Well, mine goes back to Ohio State several years back.
Oh, you're talking about Adam Talaferro?
Yep.
Yep.
If it wouldn't be for the quick thinking of Sebastianelli and Ohio State, you know, and everybody else, that he'd have been paralyzed for the rest of his life.
There's no question he saved his life. On the field. And that's been recognized, and we understand that. And at the same time, I just want to make sure that people know that the people that they have now, they're also outstanding physicians,
yeah,
doctors, and professionals as well. It just turns out they've changed out. So that's what they've done in terms of the structure here. The structure here is very similar to LSU, Iowa, Northwestern, Ohio State. I mean, so that's the structure that they've put in place, but the care is still outstanding here, and the most important commodity in the program happens to be the players, so you're going to make sure they get the best.
Well, then also I scribbled down here OTM, like for on the mark. I called in this morning. I told Kevin why I didn't call yesterday.
And I said that's all right. You call in when you can. That's the great part about it. I love the fact you call in anytime you can.
But I'm going to explain why. First of all, yesterday morning I went to a viewing and a funeral where two family members attended a church that I attended for several years. Went to a luncheon afterwards, then I had to go back to the same funeral home to put, you know, viewing and a funeral where the mother of the gentleman who ran Penn State Fast Breakers, it's a basketball club that raises money for boys and girls basketball, that for certain things that the school district couldn't take care of, they'd take care of him.
Right, Shikellamy Fast Breaker Club.
Well, also, I was the guy that would get the bus trips together for Resolute Wrestling. Well, his oldest son went to school with us and graduated with my twin brother. So, and like I said, and he was on the wrestling team. Well, then I come back, and then I hear last night that a lady 2 weeks ago, a member of our church, up in her 70s, well, she, her apartment was above her landlord's garage. So she went to take out her dog and take him down the stairs. She tripped and fell, busted her skull open. Blood was coming out her ears. Well, when he came home the next day, he found her, called 911. They gathered her up, took her to the hospital, and she was in the ICU unit with tubes in her. They pulled the plug on her last night at 4 o'clock, and by 5 she was dead. But then there was also one other thing I was going to clear with you is about, that's the sad things that happen.
Right.
Next Friday night, the church pianist is getting married at 6 o'clock at night because they're going on a cruise the next day. And they turn the lights down, that kind of stuff. And we're
going to
be part of the wedding.
Oh.
But there was one other thing.
Beautiful. Life has a full cycle to it. And there are sad things that we go through that help you give us even more perspective when great things happen.
Well, and one other thing. Kevin was talking about his boys' baseball team and that.
Right.
About managing, you know, coaching and that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can only yell "we" once for stealing, and everybody else will be up on it, so you're going to have to change your...
I'm going to have to change the signal.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Maybe that's why we got caught stealing a few times the other day. I didn't think about that.
I think I know what the signal is based on IndyCar racing. Yellow.
Okay.
For caution.
Steve, did you like that?
Very good. I loved it, Dave. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
You have a great weekend. Enjoy the wedding. News is next with Sarah, bottom of the hour. then another half hour of open lines on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's Friday. That means Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Outstanding beverages, snacks, pickle bar. It's the weekend, and Brewers Outlet is a must stop. The Hilsters General Store hotline is open. 1-800-795-9565. We've called out today to Dick Girardi and Ben Jones, but now it's our time together. Love to hear from you, as we just heard from Dave in Sunbury, at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsters General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilstersstore.com. And, of course, I'm safely ensconced in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, as we broadcast live today from the Chateau. We could talk about a variety of things. Phillies we could talk about, obviously. Stanley Cup playoffs continuing as well. NBA playoffs, the topic of the week with Sports Illustrated and what they did, the Big Ten schedule, Penn State basketball, which we brought up. But, of course, we can talk about the Preakness tomorrow. Dick Girardi's picks. Orb is his number one choice with Golden Sense second. That would be his choices tomorrow. He just likes the power of Orb. He said Orb turned in a great workout before the Derby. He said he turned in an even better workout Monday at the Preakness.
So that's the exacta.
And the conditions tomorrow, by the way, at Pimlico and Baltimore should be outstanding. Should be no issue tomorrow on conditions in Baltimore. Maybe an issue in Indianapolis for qualifying at 2 tomorrow with some thunderstorms, but no issues in Baltimore tomorrow for the Preakness at Pimlico.
Actually,
so that's,
the qualifying starts at noon tomorrow, and actually it's almost perfect because they're looking at clouds tomorrow except for 2 o'clock where there's a thunderstorm, but temperatures in the low to mid-70s. That's actually perfect for fast times.
Well, I like Indy qualifying better than I do NASCAR qualifying. NASCAR qualifying is a lap. Indy qualifying, they do 4 laps and take the average.
Right.
And I think that's a much fairer evaluation of where a car should be qualified. Much better.
I also like the fact, too, that in Indianapolis, the car is what's qualified, as opposed to the driver qualifying. Whereas if there's you can pull the car out, and if you have to change cars for one reason or another, you actually have to re-qualify.
Right, I understand.
That's what's really cool about Indianapolis, one of the unique things there.
Mm-hmm.
Although I may be phrasing it incorrectly, but that's the gist of it there. That's why you'll see a couple of cars that have a T behind them. It'll be like 5T. That's usually the backup car.
800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. I posed this question yesterday. Randy was one of those who jumped in and responded to it right away, but I'll pose it again. The Southeastern Conference right now is sticking with 8 games, and they have a decision to make on 9. The Big Ten has already made the decision on 9, but it takes away your non-conference flexibility. That means there are going to be years you're going to have 3 non-conference games all at home, and then some years you're going to have 2 out of 3 at home. That means one slot you can really put in for a home and away. Now, Penn State has that slot designated in 16, 17, 18, and 19 to Pitt. Should Penn State play Pitt every year? Should it be sometimes, or who cares? Randy said every year yesterday when he called the show. 800-795-9565. Also on Facebook, Jason said on Facebook today that you should just ask Sunbury Broadcasting to get you a press pass, drive out to Indianapolis, and watch the race.
Yeah, I kind of want the experience, though. I mean, I like it from the stands experience, too. Because then I have to work, and I can't enjoy the race. But that's a good idea.
You have to what? Work?
Right. Yeah, but he also said, while you're gone, bring Buhner in the house.
Yeah, very, yes, I know. Buhner! Buhner! Yeah, we want Buhner. So, our number 800-795-9565. All right, so, Penn State Pitt, different directions, but there are three non-conference openings, which does limit what you want to do. Do you want to see Penn State play Pitt every year? Like Iowa plays Iowa State every year for the Cy Hawk Trophy as non-conference combatants? Or would you like to see it sometimes where there's a rotation there, but Pitt's part of that rotation? Or who cares? I want to see great games.
I have a question for you. How many states have predominant college football, let's use football, programs that play each year, and even though they might not even be in the same conference? I mean, are there states like that that don't have this matchup?
Sure. Florida plays Florida State every year.
Right. Yeah, they do.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Are there any that don't that you can think of?
That don't?
Yeah. I mean, you got Oregon State, they do.
Miami, well, they're in the same conference.
Right, but they're in the same conference, right.
Miami does not play Florida every year.
Okay.
Clemson, South Carolina do play every year. Georgia Tech play every year. Let's see, same state where they don't. Let's see. Obviously, you know, let's see. I'm trying to think of anybody else. You know, because I mean, you're not going to look at Ohio State and Toledo, for example, or
right.
Kent State or any of the MAC teams. You can't look at that.
Although I'd say maybe like a Vanderbilt, Tennessee would.
Yeah, but they're in the same conference.
But they play each other is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they're in the same conference. That's why they play each
other. Right. No, I know. I'm thinking of teams
games
like that.
Like South Carolina, Clemson are not in the same conference. They play each other. Georgia Tech, not in the same conference, play each other. Florida State play each other. Miami and Florida, though, do not. And Miami plays Florida State. They're both in the ACC, but Florida State and Florida do. Virginia Tech are in the same conference. Let's see. I'm trying to go through. Texas A&M don't play any longer.
That's what I was going to ask you next. I had that written down.
They do not play each other any longer. Let's see. Anybody else that falls into that category? I think Colorado State have been. I'm not sure if they're going to continue. There aren't many, but Texas A&M is one of them.
Well, and the reason I bring that up is there's not a whole lot of them because these things are of interest, even if one team does dominate the other. I mean, I do see both sides of this, and when I've been watching this, it's been pretty much dominated by Penn State. But mm-hmm. I do understand intrastate rivalry.
Uh-huh. And let's start with this part here. Who is the game more important to have on the schedule?
Well, I think it's more important to Pitt.
You're darn right it is.
I think it's more important to Pitt because especially when it's a home game for them.
They need to have this game.
Okay. I think it's a liability for Penn State because they're expected to beat Pitt most years.
But for Pitt, they need to have this game, especially to get the game at Heinz Field. You know, they need this game. I see, you know, Cincinnati and Ohio State don't play every year. How about that one?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
No, they don't. Cincinnati and Ohio State do not.
That was one I didn't think of about.
Yeah, and Cincinnati has been in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, so they don't play every year.
I mean, to me, when this series ended, it was kind of like ending Michigan State.
But they're in the same league.
I know that.
See,
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, comparing.
Here's
things,
the issue. People have said that Joe was bitter, this, that, and the other thing. Look, he handed Pitt the opportunity to play the game every single year on a silver platter. Okay? And Pitt opted to play in the Big East in basketball, which then in turn all opted not to invite Penn State to be in the Big East in basketball. Pitt was well served playing in the Big East in basketball. Extremely well served. It gave Pitt's basketball program incredible elevation, prominence, their level of talent increased. They were highly competitive, one of the better teams in the Big East. Big East basketball did wonders for Pitt basketball. And that was the decision they made. What shocked the daylights out of them was when Penn State got invited to the Big Ten. Because they thought in the 80s that they had the perfect scenario. They're in the Big East in basketball, awesome, incredible, but we'll still continue to play Penn State in football along with West Virginia. And Pitt and West Virginia don't play anymore either.
Yeah, that's not really an intrastate rivalry, but it's a rivalry because of proximity. Yeah.
Right, proximity.
A big rivalry.
So they had the best of all worlds. Then Penn State went to the Big Ten, looked at them and said, hey, I'm sorry, but.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying about Michigan.
And Pitt's been in like a how dare you deal ever. How dare you do that? I mean, how dare you, you know, I'm sorry, you took care of yourself. I hope you don't mind. 8 years later, Penn State decided to take care of itself.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying about Michigan State being in the same conference, but let's say for just the sake of argument, Michigan State leaves to go to another conference for one reason or another. Not that they are, but I'm just for the example. Would that game stop being played? And because that
yes,
but would you Michigan, want it? Would fans want Michigan, it to stop?
Because well, the fans would not want it to stop, but it would stop because Michigan would stop playing.
And see, that's the way I looked at it.
You have to remember, though, that Michigan State's biggest rival is Michigan.
Right. That's true. Well,
but Michigan State is not Michigan's biggest rival.
Right. That's what I was going to say. But the other side of that, Michigan's biggest rival has got to be Ohio State.
Exactly. That's a big difference. That's why you hear, like, the Maryland fans get all upset about Duke. Oh, the great rivalry with Duke. See, the Duke, Maryland's another game. Okay? Duke's biggest rival is North Carolina.
Wasn't Texas A&M, wasn't that? Or, I'm sorry, yeah, Texas A&M, wasn't that played on, like, Thanksgiving for a long time? Or around that time?
Yes, it was. I mean, Oklahoma-Nebraska was a huge rivalry. Not the same state, but a huge rivalry. The conference killed that rivalry.
Yeah.
A conference can kill a rivalry. They put them in separate divisions, then started going through a rotation. That's why when the Big Ten did its divisional split the last couple of years with legends and leaders and so forth, they put the crossover game in because they didn't want to kill the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry because they were in different divisions. I mean, there actually was some thought put into that. Now, I've always been critical of the crossover game. And the crossover game is going away except for one that I know that needs to be played. Indiana-Purdue needs to be played, so that will be a crossover. That's the only crossover game left. Okay? But I think now when you have three slots open, I think that you can look at Penn State and Pitt. And in a 16-year span, they can play against each other 8 times. And I think that would be workable, where you play home and away. Then for the next 4 years, you come up with 2 other opponents to be home and away. Then bring Pitt back home and away. Then for 4 years, pick up 2 more opponents for home and aways that are prominent national games. Then Pitt home and away. And in 16 years, you play Pitt 8 times. But you also have, in that same span, other opponents that you can play that are of national prominence. Instead of playing Pitt every year, still play them a significant amount of time.
Would you feel differently if the Pitt-Penn State rivalry was a little more back and forth?
No.
See, I think I would. I think I'd feel a lot different if this were if this were like, well, this year, you know, it's going to be a tight one. This year, it's going to be a tight one. It hasn't been that way for a while.
No, but I think you need to think of strength of schedule here. When you only have, if you had four slots open, okay, and there were eight conference games in the Big Ten, then I would say play them every year. I would say play Pitt every year if you had the four non-conference openings. But when you only have three and you have to think on a national basis, playing Pitt every year does not help your national RPI. They aren't good enough yet. Now, they might be in 5 years. I don't know. But I think that part there has to be taken into consideration. I think fans get excited to see an Alabama play in Beaver Stadium. I think fans get excited to see a Notre Dame play in Beaver Stadium. I think fans would get excited to see a USC play in Beaver Stadium, or maybe even a Miami.
When should a rivalry end for a new rivalry to be created?
When should it end?
Yeah.
Look, Penn State already has 13 rivals.
I suppose that's true. If I had my choice, I'd rather have Notre Dame Penn State than Penn State Pitt. That's me.
Okay. I think now it's at the point, and I may be wrong, and if fans want to tell me I'm wrong, they can. I think fans would rather see Penn State play Michigan and Ohio State before they see them play Pitt.
I would agree with that, too.
After the last 21 years. And guess what? Under the new divisional format, you're going to play them every single year. And every other year, one of the others is going to be here.
I would agree with you there. But if it were a choice between restarting a Notre Dame-Penn State rivalry or a Pitt-Penn State rivalry, I think I'd rather see the Notre Dame one.
Well, I think most fans would rather see Notre Dame, too.
And I think you'll find a lot of Notre Dame fans would, too.
And again, this is a generational thing. Randy is a little bit older than I am, okay? But we are of the generation, the two of us, where we recall, chapter and verse, 1975, Tommy Odell, you know, getting field goals blocked. 76, the move of Dorsett from tailback to fullback, second half, 7-7 game. Pitt goes on to win the national title. Elliot Walker in the snow being stopped in 77 at Pitt Stadium. 78, Penn State trying to get to the national title game. Rally second half. Gooman scores the touchdown. They win. Then in 79, it's all Marino and Pitt winning the game. In 80, close game back and forth. Carlton Williamson's interception ends it. Then in 81, Penn State down 14-0, wins 48-14. Then in 82, close game against Marino and Pitt. Penn State wins, goes on to win national title. 83, tie game. 84, Pitt wins big. Then after that, Penn State just owned them. 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92. It's all Penn State, and they're all big. Okay? Then after that, things came to a close. Penn State went into the Big Ten. Now, would Penn State fans rather see Michigan State or Pitt at the end of the schedule? They'd rather see Pitt. But if you ask Penn State fans if you'd rather see them play Pitt, Ohio State, or Michigan, Ohio State or Michigan would finish 1-2, Pitt would finish third. But if you ask them if you'd rather see Penn State close the season with Pitt or Michigan State, you'd rather see them play Pitt. I think that's how it would turn out, my guess. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Just one quick note. I think, Kevin, you thought that the Big Ten manufactured the Penn State-Michigan State rivalry.
I did always think that.
George Perlis specifically requested it, called Joe Paterno about it. They thought it was a great idea.